good to have the bus riders in. We have several out with the bus. They had an event at school tonight, and so they are missing. So be in prayer for those that are missing because of school event. We'll be in Isaiah, and then Bentley's have some that are sick. She wasn't in to ask the church to pray for them, but they have some that are sick. How many, Ashley? Who's sick at the house?
All three.
All three of them. Mom, dad, and sister. So she's the lone survivor. Pray for strength for her. Some kind of stomach something. So pray for the Bentley family. Then others that are traveling, are out, work. Whatever the case may be. Good to have all of you here tonight. Good to have visitors. Glad that we have visitors here with us tonight. Just going to look a little bit at Isaiah 58, verse number 11, and other spots throughout the Word of God about guidance. Guidance. Guidance from the Lord. I think now it's a popular thing to have at the schools. It's called a guidance counselor. When I grew up, it was generally one of the coaches you would talk to, or one of the teachers. We didn't have somebody who was strictly a guidance counselor. It was just, they were just involved in your life. You know, if you had a question, they'd help you. You wanted to learn, they was there to help you. Now I think they spend most of their time just trying to teach them how to pass a single test. So they struggle with others, but they have guidance counselors now. We have one at the school the kids go to. Talk about guidance. Guidance from the Lord. Isaiah 58, 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought." Well, praise God for that. "And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like spring of water, whose waters fail not. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought." I don't know about you, but there's been times, personally, that spiritually I just felt like I was in a drought. Just even the people around us. I had Brother Hector text me the other day and said, "Pastor, when it rains, it pours." Boy, he was a couple of weeks there. He was having all kind of troubles, difficulties. That you know, is a saying that that's almost a drought. I mean, it wasn't literally draining them. It was, you know, it wasn't raining, but it was like, man, what is going on? Everything around you, you know, is breaking and so forth and so on. You have these droughts, you know, in life. Boy, it's good to know that even in the drought, when spiritually speaking, I know, but sometimes it just seems like the Lord's not hearing prayer. See, the Lord's not answering prayer. It seems like, "Lord, where are you?" And then, boy, verses like this come in handy. It says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Now, how does he guide us? Well, according to John chapter number 10, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 4, verse 27, one way he guides is by his presence and his voice. Look over there in John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. By his presence and his voice. Look at verse 4. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep," it's talking about the shepherd, "when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm always with you." He says here, "Listen, I put forth my sheep, they're my sheep, they're my own sheep, I goeth before them." He guides us by his presence. You ever in a situation where you need guidance and you're not sure of the presence of God, be still. Don't be making no decisions without the presence of God in your life. He will guide you, but He's going to be there to guide you. He's not going to say, go yonder. He said, I'll go before you. I'll guide you. I'll always be with you. I'll never forsake you. Now, there's times, listen, you'll be so weak, in prayer and in supplication that you're not getting an answer. Remember, in Daniel, 21 days, Daniel prayed. God, where are you at? Well, the answer was hindered because there's something that we are not aware of going around us that we cannot see. We're aware of it. It's called spiritual warfare. But we can't see all the going-ons behind the scenes and all that. But His presence. And then listen for His voice. He will guide you. Preacher, I've been listening and I had heard nothing come up out of the sky. No, I'm talking about the voice of God right here. He speaks. Listen. Boy, the scriptures speak volume. And He whispers through them. It's not like a thundering and a jarring and an earthquake and a fire. It's just like it's just a still small voice. And you know the presence of God's with you. And you know the voice of God speaking to you. And He guides you. Psalms 32:8 says He'll guide you with His eye. He'll guide you with His eye. You say, well, how does that happen? Because everything that's to do and it's open to God, and He sees, and boy, He's there, and He wants to point you in the right direction. So whenever the Bible says that, it's a good thing to keep eye contact with God. You got to look Him in His face. You know, that's something we're missing in our society today. People don't want to look at you in the face when they're talking. I mean, they're looking all around at the ground, at the bottom. We need to teach the kids from a small age. Hey, look at that person talking to you in the face. Look up and speak. Why? Because it teaches us to look and keep contact with God. Why do we teach our kids at a small age to answer to authority? Because God is the sovereign authority of all. And if they won't listen to authority right here, how in the world are they going to listen to the voice of God and the authority of God over them, whom they cannot see? You're not doing them any good by just letting them run them up. Tell my kids all the time that I coach at baseball, I say, listen, if you're not coachable, you will not be employable. If I can't coach you and get you to listen to me and pay attention to what I'm going to do, listen, it's going to take 3 or 4 or 5 firings before you get this right. You're not coachable, you're not going to be employable. If you're not teachable sitting in a 10th grade class, how in the world can a manager teach you? They just go, hey, listen, there's too many that wants a job. Matter on that note right now, before it passes my mind, if you know anybody that needs a job, right down here, this is how it is. Right down here on Boggy Creek Road, 6 miles down the road, right there past the Austin Tindall, there's site development, and it's so bad he can't get help. Out there on the site development, he's put help wanted. Help wanted, right there. I mean, right here at Boggy Creek. So if you know somebody that needs a job here and they need a bicycle, they can walk that far. They can walk 7 miles to work. Sure they can. We walk 7 miles up and down a beach. Run 27 miles up around and down a football, basketball, soccer ball field. Yeah, if you have to walk, you got to walk. And His eye, He'll guide you. Look at Psalms chapter 73. Guidance of God. Psalm 73:24. So His voice, His presence, He'll guide you with His eye. If you keep eye contact with Him, let Him show you which way to go, looking into His face and spending time with God. Psalm 73:24. The Bible says this, Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Well, I'm waiting for that day. Lord, come, Lord, even so, come quickly. But until that point, guide me with Thy counsel. What is counsel? What? The Word of God. That's the counsel of God. Right there. And Brother Ray, I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I see the instructions of life throughout the Scriptures. Now, to be honest with you, when I was younger, I wasn't heeding. I see it, maybe I pay attention sometimes and wouldn't. I say, well, I'll figure out a quicker, a better, a different way. And boy, I tried them on. I'd cause all kind of trouble and heartache and pain for everybody around me. The Bible says, no man lived to himself, no man died to himself. Decisions you make right now today affect somebody. Sometimes affects them for a long time. Is there a Bible for that? Yeah, he says the sins of the fathers are passed to the children, fourth generation, I believe it says. Doesn't it say that? That's a long time, those decisions. I've got two generations now under me. You know, that'd be grandchildren. Great-children, grandchildren, grand-grandchildren. It can be possible. I'm only 48 years old, and decisions I've made in my lifetime could affect them. That's really a sobering thought. Preacher, I've already made some bad decisions. Ain't God good to be a God of new beginnings, a God of U-turns, a God of repentance, a God of forgiveness? Well, I tell you, I've made mistakes. I don't stand up here in an angel's robe. I have not yet tasted manna from heaven. I'm just a sinner saved by grace of God. But I don't want to still make the same mistakes I made 5 years ago. I don't go sure I want to make them tomorrow, next day, year on after that. Listen, I want to learn from Brother Bernie's mistakes. I want to learn from Brother Jim's mistakes. I want to learn from Brother Johnson's mistakes. I don't want to go down that same road. Listen, we got to learn from each other. You know, they are honest with you. You talk with them, spend time with them. They'll tell you, Pastor, I went that route. It didn't work out too well. The counsel of God. He said, I'll guide you with the counsel of God. Don't ever discredit Scripture. I know that our government has. Our government has put it slap out of its out of existence almost in the school systems and the court systems and. You know, and everywhere about you, they've tried to exclude the Word of God. That's a trick of the devil. Sad thing about it is, a lot of our churches have excluded the Word of God. I mean, we spend more time on everything else besides the Word of God. There's got to be a point. The reason we meet, the reason we come together is so that we can be fed by the counsel of God. So we can find some answers and find some help. And so, you know, how does he guide us? By his voice, by his presence, by his eye, by the Word of God. If you're not getting an answer from God, it's probably because you have not searched the Scriptures like the Bereans. Got to be faithful to do it. Faithful to do it. And they're there. So where does he lead us in the guidance? Where does he guide us to? Look at Luke chapter number 1. So that was how. Now let's look where. Luke chapter number 1. Verse 79. Some of you said, Lord, there's 79 verses in one chapter? No, actually there's 80. 79, that's the next to the last verse. But listen what it says here. Luke chapter 1, verse 79, the Bible says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I can almost assure you that if you're not living in peace, there's no peace of God in your life. No, the Holy Ghost of God that passeth all understanding brings that peace in life. You're not, if there's not a peace. I'm not talking about everything around you peaceable because it's not. But you have peace in the situation. You're not being guided by God. You've done walked off into some place that there's God's guidance is not there. He says here, I will guide you in the way of peace. He'll give you peace. Listen, the situation may not be logically humanly the best of the best, but He will certainly give you peace in the middle of that situation. He will. Things that you, at your school, where you're going to school, at the college, where you're going to try to get some further education. And I was listening today to some, it was actually a blog reading or something, I forget what it was, but they were talking about Scripture, and it was actually about marriage. And actually, it's 9:50, the radio, 9:50 a.m. It was talking about marriage. And it said this: it's amazing how much time and effort goes into educating ourselves to a career. So you can start at K-4. Right now, I guess you can go to pre-K, right? You can go up there at 2 years old, you know, stick in there, play with blocks or something. But 19 years later, you can graduate, what, four-year degree? From K-4 to 19 would be 12 years of high school, 4 years of college. That'd be 19, right? No? 12 and 4? 16?
12 and 4, 16, but you got the pre-K.
You have the pre-Ks. Yeah, 19 years. You can be done with your four-year degree. And if you'd like to stay longer, you can go a couple of more, three, 4 years. Stay up in there 20 years. All for career. Some people leave out of school, college, with untold amount of loans and debts, so they can get a career. And that's only for till retirement, right? Well, you retire, you're supposed to be able to retire around 65 now, but now I think it's 72. But when you go to that marriage altar, you say something. Something said, until death do you part. And we don't put hardly no effort, no effort into the marriage. Marriage doesn't make love. I mean, love don't make marriage. The marriage will make love. So how much you put into it. Some of you, listen, we got two getting married here. There's two tonight here, three getting married this year. Listen, don't go in there blind. You got to work at your marriage. Brother, Sister Johnson, how many years y'all been working?
61.
That's a lot of work. You got to work at the marriage. Just like you're working at your careers, just like you're working at your education, just like, you got to work at your, listen, where does He want to guide you? He wants to guide you into peace. He wants to guide you there. In John chapter 16, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God will guide us unto all truth. John 16, verse 13, all truth. We need the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We need God to guide us through Scripture so that we can understand the truths of the Word of God. This is amazing to me. In Isaiah 58, 11, our text, how long did it say that God would guide? There was a word started with a C. Would it be early in the morning? Would it be midway through the week? It said what? Continually. Continually. Don't leave God out of your direction. I mean, when you rise up in the morning and say, God, I need you to guide me throughout this day, week. When you're making decisions for school, for career, for mate, for relationship, for job, for whatever, God, I need you because you said you would guide me continually. Now, this is a scripture here that really caught me by surprise when I was doing this study. If you look in Psalms, Psalms chapter 48, this one caught me by surprise right here. Psalm 48, verse 14. Psalms chapter 48, verse 14, the Bible says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Even unto death. Even unto death. He wants to, listen, that's our God. You know, I was thinking about it today. maybe a month ago, somebody posted something on Facebook about a healthcare worker who was just really, really ugly to a senior person. I mean, just really ugly. Posted, it was caught on, I think, a nanny cam of some sort or another. You know, sometimes, you know, seniors, listen to me. You get to the point where you feel like you're not worth it. You know what makes me want to go to the nursing home once a month? Because there are some folks in there that feels like they are useless. God says to his children, he says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God wants to guide you all the way down. All the way down. You know the story in Luke 16 where the rich man died and lifted his eyes in hell. The poor guy died beggar. Angels carried him. God, he wants to guide you all the way even to death. Listen, saints, senior saints, you are useful to God all the way to death. He wants to invest in you by guiding you all the way to that moment that you take your last breath. That's just amazing to me. Don't ever get to feeling like you're a burden somebody around here. Listen, young people, the Bible says we're to respect and honor the hoary head. I mean, we're to, if you're sitting around a table and they come walking in, stand up, let them have a seat. Let them have a seat. Let them sit there and let them sit with you. Don't get up and run off. Learn something from them. You are useful. You are needful. You are so important that God says, I want to guide you even in death. You say, well, preacher, people die at all different ages. Yes, they do. They certainly do. You wouldn't for a moment catch me by surprise. From birth all the way to into hundreds of years of age. But God says, I want to guide you all the way. Also, saints, as I've honored you with that, remember, you never get too old for God to guide you. Never get too old for God to guide you. Let him guide you unto death. You know, and what should be the conditions around God's guidance? Look with me in Proverbs 3. We're almost done. A couple of verses. Proverbs 3. So we look at the how, the where, how long, continually, unto death. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Probably some of you is life verse, Proverbs 3, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall guide thee, direct thy paths. Listen, with grateful acknowledgement of the past times in your life when God has guided you, you need to acknowledge it. In the future, you know, and the very present, when God's, whatever God's guided, you need to have a grateful acknowledgement of the fact that, hey, this is because of God. If you're retired, you're a business person, you have health, you have whatever you have, because God did this. Why do we need to acknowledge that? Because it brings glory to God. We don't want to get to the point where we're like Nebuchadnezzar walking around looking and saying, look at what all I've done. Look at my 401k. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at my business. Look at this. Look at that. Look at all the things I've done. And leave God out, and before long you're running around like a lunatic out there with feathers and claws coming out. You say, preacher, you believe that happened? The Bible said it, didn't it? I believe it. I believe it. Listen, be grateful in acknowledging the fact how God has guided you. Bring that glory to God. Look in Psalms 37, last verse, and we're going to get these kids back on the bus. They can get home. They've got school tomorrow, and they're so excited to get to sleep, to wake up, to go to school, to be kind and obedient to their teachers, to learn, to raise their hands with the answers to all those questions. Psalms 37, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5, the Bible says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." If you want the guidance of God, dear friend, let me tell you something. It's going to be because you submit yourselves to that guidance. It's not going to be because mom and dad was a great Christian. They follow the Lord. They walk with the Lord. It's not going to be because your brother, sister, your aunt. It's not going to be because of the deacons, the song leader, Sunday school teacher. It's going to be because you as an individual say, "Lord, guide me. I'm committing all my ways. Everything with my way. Here it is, Lord. I'm committed to you. I'm trusting in you. And Lord, you're going to bring it to pass, whatever it is that is your plan for my life." Now listen, I'm okay with people making plans, but be careful that you don't plan God out of your life. Allow God's plan to be there to guide, direct, push you through, to help you through all continually, always seeking, even with the smallest of matters. Even with the smallest of matters. The other day I was helping Haley get the kids in the car, and told her, she said, "Dad, you don't have to come do that." I said, "I know I don't, but one day I won't be able to. I'll be in a nursing home somewhere." And she said, "You and Mom always say that, but I'm telling you, with all the kids you got, we'll just shelf you from one house to the other. You'll be cared for." Listen, I'm going to tell you this. As much as we care for our children, God cares for His children much greater. Let Him guide you. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night, for the love that you've shown us. Lord, for the guidance that you've given us in your counsel, in your voice, in the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for those around us that help us to be godly, be obedient to Scripture. Lord, that they help us to put things in perspective and priority and keep us focused on the things of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've placed the Holy Spirit of God in us as your children. And we ask you, Lord, to guide us into all truth, that we may bring glory to you throughout our days and all of our life, and even unto our death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, bus kids, please come quickly over here. Do y'all need to practice? Youth, please go to Miss Rena's class, and so you can practice there. Instrumentals, Brother Jim, y'all practicing? No? All right. Wow, that's pretty there. You're dismissed.